Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Hebrews. Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13.
Look, all the kids are going downstairs.
Yep. I love the book of Hebrews. It is a... you know what? Keep your finger here. Let's go to Hebrews 1. What you see here in the book of Hebrews is that it is written to those of Israel. And whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, there's a number of theories out there, but the word doesn't tell us, was also of Israel. In verse 1 of chapter 1, it says, God, who at sundry or various times, in diverse manners or in many ways, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made or prepared, should read, prepared the ages. The word worlds is ages. He prepared the ages. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Let's go back to 13. The book of Hebrews is written to those of Israel, and it's interesting because it's written to those who had accepted Christ, but it's also written to those who hadn't. Yeah. And it explains some seemingly difficult verses that you find in Hebrews. You have to understand who it's addressing. We'll see a little later this morning, we're going to go back and take a little look at Hebrews 10, which is addressing those who had accepted Jesus Christ. See? But there were those of Israel who had not yet. They hadn't accepted. And so what you have in Hebrews, it's just so awesome. It's obviating like every objection to Jesus Christ being the promised Messiah, the promised one. See, but in doing that, it establishes the amazing truth of how it was Jesus Christ that fulfilled the scriptures. It's like, only God could figure that one out, right? It's breathtaking. And so it's just a lot of fun because it's about Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. So I love Hebrews. But with all that being said, we're going to go to the last chapter of the book. And there are some great truths in here, but what I want to get to is a very, very familiar verse to all of us. And it's really beautiful. And I just want to take a look at that. That's kind of where we're going to land. But we're going to have a little fun getting there, okay? Verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Let brotherly love continue. It's kind of neat because back in Hebrews 10, let's keep your finger here. Let's go to, just flip a page or two. Oh, I'm sorry, Hebrews 6, not 10. Verse 10. Yeah. This is, you know, boy, you think about this. God is not unrighteous. Verse 10 of chapter 6. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have showed toward his name in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. That's something. He doesn't forget. He does not forget. Let's go back to 13. You know, those things that we do in love, we're going to be rewarded for. God remembers. I was talking to Stefan the other night. I was looking at some things in Malachi, which is the last book of the Old Testament. And actually, I've been looking at some things regarding John the Baptist. You know, Elijah will come. Just wanted to look at that. Been having some fun with it. But I landed in Malachi. And there's a section, I think it's in chapter 3 of Malachi, where he's addressing the priests. Malachi is, for the most part, he's addressing the priests. And the priests say, their question is, you know, how have we spoken ill of you to God? And what they had done, and what God points out, or one of the things they had done, one of the things that that they had done was to look at those who had rejected God, the proud, and look at them and see that their lives were seemingly wonderful. And so what they arrived at from that was that to serve God is a waste of time. Basically, that's where they arrived at. Isn't that something? But God says, it's so cool, He writes in a book of remembrance all those who serve Him. And they will not be forgotten in that day. Isn't that something? God is, He's not unfaithful to forget. Isn't that cool? When we walk in love. And then the next verse. This is kind of neat. Verse 2. Love this verse 2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels, messengers, unaware. That's something. In the context here, this word can refer to messengers from God. It can refer to spirit messengers from God too. We refer to them as angels, right? One thing this verse is telling us is that that is a possibility. Another thing that you see associated with love, you see it in Peter too, and you see it in other places. Hospitality. Hospitality is a part of love. I think in Peter it's show hospitality one to another without grudging. See? Without grudging. It's not like, you don't look at what it costs me. I don't look at what it's going to cost me. I don't look at how whatever way I'm put out. But rather, I put my heart into showing you hospitality. Isn't that beautiful? That's love. See? And that's part of this letting brotherly love continue. Hospitality is a big thing. God shows us hospitality. We're part of His family, right? Absolutely. Let's, verse 3. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. And that King Jimmy for, remember those who are being abused as yourself being abused is what it means. Okay? That's part of that brotherly love, that compassion that comes with brotherly love. That's something. There's a verse, and this is back in 10. Flip a page. Oh, I don't know if I wrote this down. But it's in 10. Oh, yeah. Verse 32. This section is written to those who had accepted. This is kind of neat. Verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated or enlightened, you endured a great fight or struggle of afflictions or sufferings. Okay? Remember back when you were illuminated. He's speaking to those of Israel. Partly while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches, that meaning insults. You were made a gazing stock is you were made a spectacle. All right? By insults and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. He's speaking to those of Israel who, to remember back when they were first illuminated. See? Some of these that are being addressed were very possibly there when we read the records in the book of Acts. See? When there were believers who were imprisoned, those of Israel. Do you remember? They had to scatter from Jerusalem. That's right. And what the writer is saying here, remember back when you had that kind of compassion, see, on those who were so used. It's really something. It's part of that brotherly love. Okay, let's go back to 13. And then it says in verse 4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. Then it says, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. You know, this speaks to God's design. God's design for sexual relations in the marriage. You know, Ephesians talks about this, where that wife is sanctified or set apart from all other women. And how and when it's believers in that marriage relationship, how they are to conduct themselves. Now, there are some other places where marriage is addressed. Corinthians, for instance. A little different situation. But Ephesians is dealing with those who are believers, who are walking. That's something. And how God set that thing up. And this is God's design. This is God's design. And it's honorable. It's good. Isn't that great? See? Now the world chips away at this. The world makes fun of this. The world does a lot of things. It's okay. See? But we don't concern ourselves with that. This is the way God set it up. Then, verse 5, which is where I want to get. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Okay? And be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. This covetousness is, it's referring to it's a greed for material things. A love of money. A greed. As a matter of fact, a couple translations translated that. Let your manner of life not be with love of money. See? There's nothing wrong with money. Nothing wrong with that at all. It's the love of it. It's the pursuit of it. There's a great verse in 1 Timothy 6. You guys know this. Matter of fact, Jimmy just did a teaching, Jimmy Nichols, on, I forget what it's called. Satisfied, yeah, that's it. But in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. Oh, let's read verse 8. Ah, verse 7 isn't bad. How about 6? Here we go. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we're not carrying anything out, right? and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Now we're going to deal with this a little bit more in a minute. Verse 9, but they that will be rich, and that word will is the word desire. See, it's not whether somebody has a lot of physical stuff or not. That's not what this is addressing. It's the desire. They that will to be rich. They that desire to be rich. That's what it's talking about. Got it? Fall into temptation and a snare. Well, duh. And into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For, here's why. Here's why. The love of money is the root of all evil. It's the love of it. It's the desire to have. See? And when you love something like that, you can never have enough. You're never content. See? It's your everything. It's your identity. It's your life. It's your security. It's everything. That's not what we're reading in Hebrews. And Timothy is, it's being pointed out here, don't do that. It's not good. Let me read this again, and then we are going to go back to where this is quoted from in Deuteronomy 31. Let your manner of life, I'm reading Hebrews 13:5 again, let your manner of life, your conversation, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. I want to take you back to Deuteronomy. And we're going to look at a couple of scriptures back here. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. That's a citation from Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, the biggest number is Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 31, last chapter. Deuteronomy 34. I'm sorry, Deuteronomy 31. There we are. Deuteronomy 31, verse 1. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, he had just given them the choice between life and death. Okay? And Moses went, verse 1 of 31, spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also, the Lord has said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. A little earlier, God had showed him the promised land that he had promised to Abraham. But he said, you're not going in. The Lord thy God, he will go over before you. And he will destroy these nations from before thee. And thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord has said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sion and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that you may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that does go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor what? Forsake thee. See? That's right. He will not fail thee. He will not forsake thee. Who was going to do the defeating? God was going to do the defeating. See? This was a situation where God had to be good enough. And God in his great love had shown these people time and time and time and time and time again his faithfulness. He taught them. He taught them his supply with manna. He taught them to wait on him with the cloud by day, pillar of fire by night, water out of a rock, all kinds of stuff. There was an earlier generation where God wasn't good enough. God wasn't good enough. They sent in the men to spy out the land, you remember? And Joshua and Caleb came back. Let's read it. Let's go to Numbers. Numbers 13. Let's pick it up in 25. These men that went to spy out the land, they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. Verse 25. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites, all these ites. And Caleb stilled the people. The people were starting to freak out. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. On what basis did Caleb say that? God's word. Isn't it wonderful? God said it. God was good enough. That's all Caleb had. He had God. He didn't have anything else. He saw the same thing these other people saw, but he had God. And that is often, when you think about what we're reading and why we're looking at these records with that verse in Hebrews, that is often the difference. Where God is good enough. We all live in the same world, same age. We all go through the same things, right? Absolutely. You know, we're tempted in the same things. But I can be content knowing that I have God, who will never leave me nor forsake me. Isn't that something? And then rely on him. See? So when I go to the mall, instead of walking through the mall and all of a sudden realizing all the things that I can't live without, I can think in terms of somebody I can speak God's word to. Isn't that cool? Sure, it's a whole different perspective. One has God, one doesn't. See? Anyway, Caleb stilled them. Where did I stop?
30.
Oh, okay, 31. But the men that went up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people. They're stronger than us. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched under the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Isn't that something? Boy, God called it a land of milk and honey. They called it a land that eats people up. Isn't that something? Same thing. They saw the same place. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. I don't know, a bunch of basketball players. I don't know. But we were in our own sight grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. You know, they could have just stomped on us. That's something. Now we're reading in Deuteronomy where Moses says, be of a good courage. See? And he says the same thing to Joshua. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 31. I don't think I read that.
You want what?
Deuteronomy 31, back to where we were reading. Yeah. Verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that does go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua, and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and there and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that does go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Isn't that something? So don't fear, and don't be dismayed. And Joshua did it. Joshua did it. I think the first place they ran into was Jericho. You know, God said he would defeat these people. All these guys that did was take a hike 7 times or whatever it was. 7 days. Right? The walls fell down. Let's go back to Hebrews, and then we're going to look at one more. Just keep your ribbon here in Hebrews 13. Verse 5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And the beauty of this verse is, the way it's constructed in the Greek, it reads, I will never, ever forsake thee. I will never, ever, I'm sorry, I will never, ever leave thee, nor ever, ever, ever forsake thee. Isn't that something? Then it says, so that we may boldly say. And this word boldly, there is an element of courage in this word. It's kind of neat. You remember when Moses said to Joshua, be strong and of a what? He said that to the people too. Okay. And here's why they could be strong and of a good courage. Because God would never leave them, nor would he forsake them. Isn't that something? That we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. See? Now this is written to those of Israel. Boy, this would have just popped in their heart. Let's go to Psalm 118, which is where that's quoted from. Psalm 118. There just comes a point where God is good enough. And what God says is good enough. Psalm 118. Let's start in verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that reverence, fear, or reverence the Lord say that his mercy endures forever. I called upon the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me, and set me in a large place, a large room. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Isn't that beautiful? The Lord is on. The reason why, it wasn't an arrogant, which you see sometimes, you see men say things like that. It wasn't out of arrogance that the psalmist didn't fear what men would do to him or could do to him. It was rather that the Lord was what? On his side. See? God is our Father. That's why we don't fear. You know, and that fear can mean afraid of. It can also mean reverence. And when it comes to fearing men, it's both. It's both. Because if I reverence men above God, see, then I am going to devote my life to pleasing who?
Amen.
Right. See? And if I'm afraid of what men can do to me, it prevents me from being what God has called me to be, doesn't it? Sure, it's both. See? So, neither one, because who's on my side? God's on my side. God's my Father. He's your Father. You're part of His family. Isn't that something? So therewith, be content. God will take care of us. He will take care of you. See? He'll take care of you. Our future is absolutely secure. The world is devoted to building fear in the heart and in the life of a believer. And it does it in a million different ways. Don't try and figure out all the ways. Know that your Father, God, He will never, never leave you, nor ever, ever, ever forsake you. Isn't that something? So, amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, I want to thank You for Your word, for Your love, for Your faithfulness, and for, Father, all that You've made us in Christ. Thank You for these things in His name. Amen.